This is Heroes Don't Take Water Breaks, a student-written, directed, and acted podcast and radio show from the Brookings Harbor High School, hosted by McLean Westbrook.
I hope we're all ready for another yawn-packed half hour. Coming up right now, we have A Rainy Day in San Francisco, written by Jake Westbrook and adapted from an original script by Dan Orkin. This is the city. 2 million people walk these streets. Amongst them are the most kind-hearted souls you'd ever hope to meet. Underneath that cheery exterior, there's a seedy underbelly in this town. The criminal element that haunts the night. The steely-eyed thug who could be sitting right next to you on the bus and you never even know about it. That's where I come in. My name's Saturday. Jack Saturday. I'm a detective for the police department. My partner's Dan Smith.
I thought I could introduce myself, Jack.
You lost that privilege when you mixed up my coffee order yesterday.
Sorry.
Listen to me now, Mr. and Mrs. Average American. Even as we speak, the most unspeakable of illegal activities are going on right underneath our noses. That's where your local police come in. We're the first line of defense against this vicious element. Take, for example, that shady-looking character over there. Bandana over his face, gun in his hand, and I think he double-parked to boot. Come on, Dan, we've got a sworn duty to uphold.
All right, lady, stick him up.
Oh, my. I'm afraid I don't have much money on me. Just this quarter.
I'll take it.
Hold it right there. Pardon me for butting in, but say, can you take that bandana off so we can look each other square in the eye?
No. What do you want?
Jack, his gun's poking me in the side.
You won't stand so close to him. Have some respect for people's personal space, Dan.
Sorry.
What do you want anyway?
Do you realize you're double parked?
Am I?
Yes. Yes, you are.
That's a shame, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess it is.
Does it look like rain to you guys?
I don't think so.
Looks like rain to me.
Well, it's been nice talking.
Yep.
Definitely rain clouds up there.
But hold on just 1 second there, citizen. What exactly were you doing with that gun?
I was cleaning it.
Are you sure that's all you were doing?
Well, I may have done one or two little things with it.
Should have worn my raincoat.
What kind of little things?
Nothing really. I stole a quarter from the little lady.
A quarter?
Yeah.
And what exactly prompted you to steal that quarter?
I needed a quarter.
It's such a petty sum, though. What could you possibly do with a quarter?
Oh, if it does rain and a suit gets wet, it's gonna shrink like the dickens.
I don't know. I'd probably invest it.
Invest it?
You know, in a little startup company or something.
Wouldn't that be kind of hard? Don't you think all those gang tattoos might keep you from being thought of as a professional?
Well, it wouldn't be anything big. Just me and my garage. I'd slave away there every night, you know, making a handcrafted product. Something I could be proud of.
Mm-hmm. That's mighty industrious.
Ma always said I was a big dreamer.
You really should have checked the barometer this morning.
It'd be a nice little product, too. Sturdy. American-made.
Oh, and what would you have called it?
I'd probably name it after my father.
And his name?
Irving.
Irving?
You got a problem with that?
No, I think Irving is a very nice name.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah, I'd love to own an Irving.
Well, you can't.
Why not?
Because Irving's son is going to jail for armed robbery.
Either of you have an umbrella?
Yes, we are the front line. We take the risks. We put our lives on the line. Remember that next time you see an officer. Remember his brave service to you and your community. Remember his commitment to stamping out the evil in our towns and cities so that every child, both now and in the future, can dream. They can dream of a brighter tomorrow. They can dream of a prosperous nation. They can dream that every family, no matter how rich or poor, will have an Irving in their home. Oh, sure. You can always buy a Chinese Irving. But will it be a quality Irving? Segment of the show, we intend to bring you radio plays of only the finest caliber and class. This week, we bring you a look into classical literature. Dim the lights for effect, please.
This is radio, right?
Well, this helps me get into a somber mood.
Just
do it, okay?
Oh, fine.
Robert Frost once wrote, "I shall be telling you this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference." A touching thought indeed, but it raises the question, can a trivially matter so inconsequential as which path in the forest one takes really make all the difference? Is it so relevant to the successes or failures you'll experience in the future? We here at Heroes Don't Take Water Breaks attempt to answer this ponderable by presenting a tale of two pioneers whose names have been lost to history. These two also came upon a fork in the road, and what follows is how the pair came to reach a decision.
Now, Cletus, I told you that bear was a no thing to mess with.
I know you told me, Jethro. You keep telling me for the past 3 miles, I reckon.
Hey, don't get angry with me if you... Well, I'll be. Looky here, a fork in the road.
What you so excited about there, Jethro?
Why, don't you know two roads diverging can make all the difference?
Huh?
So which of these should we take, huh?
Well, why not that one there, I reckon?
Why that one?
Well, it's not as broad over. Easier to traverse, I reckon.
Oh, hold it now. You're going about this all wrong.
What do you mean?
You want to go where everyone else is gone. Where's your pioneering spirit?
Well, I left it at home, I reckon. Come on, if everyone else is gone there, then it's safe, right?
Safe, smafe. Nobody ever got anywhere in this world but following everybody else.
Obviously, the people that took this path did. Everyone takes it.
Because everyone's like you. I was following the crowd. Do your own thing. Be your own person.
I listen to you, Jethro. Look, if this one is well-worn, the more people have taken it. Obviously safer. I'm going this way.
Well, I'm going this way.
Fine.
Fine. I'm going.
Good.
Yep. Walking away now.
Better keep on going, man.
I am. Yep, here I go.
Watch out for that ledge, Jethro! No, Jethro! He's gone. I never got to say goodbye.
And so, the lone pioneer must now go on his way, alone, in solitude, void of company, nobody to...
Okay, we get it, he's alone.
Anyway, the lone pioneer eventually finds his way to a settlement. There, he sets up a homestead. Things move on steadily as the years go by. He farms, but as begins a family, he finds it hard to produce enough for his growing clan. Until one day, while toiling in his field...
Old man river... Man, this is hard work. If I don't harvest all this, we could go hungry by winter. If only there what? Say, look in there coming up that road. It's one of them fancy stretch limo wagons, I reckon. Well, God, somebody must be well off.
The limo wagon stops in front of the field. The door opens and a familiar face appears.
Hello there, my good farmer. Is there any... Cletus, is that you?
Jethro! I thought you were dead after you fall off that cliff, I reckon.
Of course not. I fell into a natural spring. That inspired me to start up a British water bottle company. I'm now the richest man west of the Appalachians.
Oh, it's so good to see you after all these years.
You too. How you been?
Well, not so good, I reckon. Seems I wasn't cracked up for pioneering or farming.
That's no problem, Cletus. I've got a spot for you.
You mean?
Yes. You're going to be my head labeler for my water bottles.
Oh, Jethro, I'm so sorry for all I did to you, I reckon. Thank you so much. Can you forgive me?
Well, of course, Cletus. Oh, I took the road less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. This has been Heroes Don't Take Water Breaks presenting The Road Not Taken, written by McLean Westbrook. Starring Corey Sarabia,
Gage Westbrook,
and McLean Westbrook.
Make sure to check out our Facebook page, be sure to like it, and email us if you have any comments or questions.
in an office high above the New York skyline.
Mr. Druff, what will we be doing about the Williams appointment? It seems we've scheduled it at the same time as the mayor's luncheon.
Clayton, you've been with me for 8 years now.
Yes, sir?
What do you think of me?
That's kind of a vague question.
That's enough. I get it. I understand.
Understand what, sir?
Everything. Everyone. I've known lots of people. I'm world famous. But is it because people like me for who I am? No. It's because I'm rich. That's why everyone gets so close. They're just pretending.
Oh boy, not this again.
What if people didn't know who I was? What if they thought of me as just a regular person? I'm almost 45 now. Do I really have time to waste with people masquerading as my friends?
Yes, sir, we really do need to do something about this appointment.
Cancel it.
Cancel? But sir, this is very important.
I've got more important things to do. I have a personal crisis to solve.
You're gonna have a financial crisis if you cancel this appointment.
Bah! What's money?
Are you serious?
Of course not. It was a rhetorical question.
Sir...
Come in.
Sir, it's Mr. Williams again. He wants to know about the appointment.
Cancel it, Miss Stebbins. Cancel all my future appointments. I have a personal crisis I'm working through.
Was he on this again?
Yeah, it's my fault. He caught me off guard with that "what do you really think of me" question.
Oh dear, I remember the last time he asked me that.
Miss Stebbins, find the most isolated town in the country. Somewhere where they've never heard of me.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to make friends. Not with money or fame, but with me, my personality.
Mr. Druff, I really don't think this is necessary. It's obvious that you have many friends already who care for you dearly.
Don't try to talk me out of it. I've made up my mind. This is it. They search for the real me. Their journey to find my true self. No longer will I be known as Daniel Druff, founder and CEO of the Daniel Druff Dandruff Shampoo Company. I will be Dandruff, country bumpkin, a good fellow, a friendly neighbor in a small town America.
Mr. Druff.
What is it, Clayton?
You're gonna need to get off your desk first.
Help me down, please.
Yes, sir.
This is the town, sir.
Excellent. Stop the limo. I'll get out here.
Sir, did we really have to come with you? Nobody's around the office. The company will be reduced to rubble.
Let it, Clayton. This is far more important. Miss Stebbins, did you make the appropriate reservations at the local hotel?
Yes, sir, I did.
Good. Come along, Miss Stebbins. Clayton, I have friends to make.
Wow, would you look at that limo? Is that yours, mister?
No, I'm just a simple poor man. This isn't my limo. I own, like, I'm the CEO of some big company or something.
Okay.
Clayton, remind me to do something about the limo. Maybe I'll rent a car.
Yes, sir.
Here's the hotel, Mr. Druff.
Excellent. Let's go claim our rooms, shall we? Greetings, sir. Are you the manager of this establishment?
Yes, sir.
I've made reservations for myself and my two companions here. We'd like to be shown to our rooms.
Say, that's some suit you wear. Forgive me for asking, but how much does that cost about?
What? This old rag? Well, I don't, not much. It was on sale. Yeah, sale.
Okay.
I made the reservation under Stebbins.
Oh, yeah, here it is. Three rooms. Here's your keys.
Thank you. Come along, let us see what type of quarters the ordinary people inhabit.
Oh yes, that type of talk will make them fit right in.
The people visiting around here are getting stranger and stranger.
Well, this is quaint. Pleasant.
Is that mold on the wall?
Looks like it to me.
Ah, mold, how nice. Why, I bet this room hasn't been cleaned in months. Why, just look at all that.
I can almost see the bed bugs.
Why, you're right. You really can. Hello, little friends. Hope you don't mind a roommate for a little bit.
I can switch rooms with you, sir. Mine's a bit cleaner.
Well, I wouldn't dream of it. Can't you just feel the atmosphere in this room? That's what a room for people feels like.
I think that's just the asbestos.
Say, isn't it about to be dinner time? I saw a pretty trashy-looking restaurant down the street. Seemed perfect to get a bite to eat.
Sir, I can always have one of your private chefs come with a refrigerated truck.
Nonsense! What do I look like, a billionaire? You forgot I'm but a simple countryman. Come, let us procure some nourishment from the local eatery.
Because all simple countrymen procure nourishment.
How long could this go on for? I thought he'd be back to... normal by now.
Why, I almost broke my neck on these old broken stairs.
How charming.
If we can get him out of here by tomorrow morning, we might be able to get back before the company folds completely.
I don't know. He seems pretty content.
Let's see. I think I'll try the goose burger.
All right, Mac. What do you want?
I was wondering, what exactly is the goose burger?
The goose burger.
Yes, I was considering ordering it. It sounds most enticing. Could you explain it to me?
We take a goose. We make it into a burger. Ain't nothing enticing about it.
You can say that again.
I think I'll partake of one. Can I have it medium rare?
Look, mister, your choices are well done or raw. What'll it be?
I'll take well done.
Fine. And you?
Perhaps just some toast and coffee.
Okay, makes my job easier. What about you, pal?
Do you have any antacids?
No, we got Tums. I'll be back with your burger and toast in a minute.
Sir, we still have time for you to be back in time for your appointment with Mr. Williams tomorrow.
I thought I told you to cancel that appointment, Miss Stebbins.
Well, sir, I kind of thought you'd be back in town by then.
You did, Well, that was a very...
Here's your burger and your toast and coffee.
That was remarkably fast. How did you manage to prepare this food so quickly?
We make most of it hours ahead of time.
Maybe I'll skip the toast after all.
Hours ahead, Miss, let me tell you something.
He's about to tell her off. We might be out of this town after all.
We're in the clear.
What?
Here it comes.
You are a very attractive woman, and I'm pleased to have been served by you today.
We're dead.
It's sunk.
What was that?
I said you were a very attractive woman. What time do you get off work? Perhaps we should take a walk around town.
Hey, what is this?
Honest, I would love to have the privilege of spending an evening with you.
Well, okay. I get off work at 8.
Great, I'll pick you up then.
Okay, see you then.
Unbelievable.
Absolutely unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. Out to almost 2 o'clock with some waitress he just met 8 hours ago.
If you keep pacing, you'll wear right through the carpeting.
The mice beat me to that a long time ago. Absolutely unbelievable.
Honestly, Clayton, he's a grown man. Must we really wait up for him?
Darn Skippy, we must. When he gets here, I'll tell him a thing or two. He needs to get back to New York. He can't go around with some waitress at all hours of the night and expect his shampoo empire to still be there in the morning. I'll tell him. Maybe he'll fire me. Well, good. At least I won't have to work for some billionaire wanting to live the life of a pauper.
Well, I'm going to bed. Tell me how it went in the morning. Good night.
Sure, sure. Tell him a thing or two. Can't...
Well, good night, Irene.
Ah, here he is. Tell him a thing or two. Mr. Druff, where have you been?
I've been out with an angel, Clayton.
Oh, sure. And you've had me waiting up for you in your room. As if I was a worried wife waiting for their husband to come home after a night on the town. Why, it's humiliating.
Wife? Oh, that reminds me, Clayton. I'm getting married. Congratulate me.
Letting your company go to ruin while you go and get married. Married?
Married?
I proposed to her. Isn't it great?
Unbelievable.
Absolutely unbelievable.
So, you don't...
You proposed to a woman you just met working in a cafe this afternoon? You probably don't even know her name.
Her name is Anne.
Oh, well, great. Now that you know her name, go and get married. Sure, you met her an hour ago, but hey, big deal. Sir, need I remind you, you have already been married three times.
This is different, Clayton. Anne isn't like them. She likes me for who I am.
And who you are is a man with a lot of money.
She doesn't know anything about that. I left that persona back in New York. I'm a changed man.
Changed man. Well, sure. Well, look, buddy, one day she's gonna find out about it. And I know people. That's when she'll be a changed person. You'll see. Well, not me, pal. I'm not gonna stand around and watch you ruin your life for a girl you just met this afternoon. Sayonara, buddy. I quit. I'm leaving this town and going back to New York, where maybe, just maybe, I can still find a job.
Wow, I didn't think he'd really go.
Shame, too. I was just about to vacate my position in the company and appoint him CEO.
What?
Clayton, how do you feel about making a 7-figure salary? I have more than enough assets to live out in early retirement comfortably.
Perhaps I was a bit, hasty in, leaving, sir.
Perhaps you were.
Anne seems like a very, nice girl. I'd be happy to assist you in setting up this wedding in the coming weeks.
Coming weeks? It's tomorrow afternoon.
What?
Yep. I'd better be getting to bed at that. Night, Miss Stebbins. Clayton.
Good night, sir.
Good night, sir.
Well, there goes the happy little bridegroom to bed.
I can't understand it.
Doesn't make sense. Well, good night, Clayton.
Good night. Jane?
Yes?
When Mr. Druff appoints me CEO, could I count on you to stay on as secretary?
Sure, why not?
Okay, thank you. Good night. Is everything ready?
Not quite yet. We still have to...
Well, don't tell me about it. Go do it.
Yes, sir.
Jeez.
I can see you as the boss already.
Oh, hi, Jane. How's the bride doing?
She's doing fine. A little nervous, but fine. Where's Mr. Druff?
He's filling out paperwork, officially vacating the position and appointing me his successor.
Well, big day for you, huh?
I think I'm more nervous than the couple getting married after knowing each other only a day.
Well, it's happened before. I guess some people only need a day. Say, who is that man over there? He looks oddly familiar.
Oh.
Right there, talking to the preacher. Well, I guess he's shouting at him more than anything.
That's, Mr. Williams.
You mean the Mr. Williams whose appointment Mr. Druff totally ignored?
That's the one. Turn around. He may not recognize us as Mr. Druff's staff.
Hey, you there.
Too late.
Oh, boy. Hi, Mr. Williams. What are you doing here?
You're Druff's assistant, aren't you? Robinson or something.
Robson, sir. Clayton Robson.
Well, what are you doing here?
What do you mean, sir?
Is Druff nearby?
Yeah, well, we thought you were here to talk to him about that missed appointment.
Well, I haven't the time right now for that. I'm here for my daughter. She wanted to come here and work as a waitress in this two-bit town so she could simplify her life. She's apparently fallen in love with somebody she just met last night and seems to have gotten the idea that she's going to marry him. Can you believe? Of all the simple-minded, my daughter, if I get my hands on this fiancé of hers, I don't know what I'll do.
Sounds like our boy.
Quiet. Well, that's certainly silly. I mean, not that your daughter is silly, I just mean, say, is that the time? We gotta get going. Talk to you later about rescheduling that appointment. See you later.
You handle pressure situations well.
We have to find Druff before he meets up with Williams.
Last I saw him, he was up in his hotel room.
Let's check there first and then go back to the church.
Why, you two look like you're in a rush.
Do you know if our friend is still here?
The one with the fancy suit he got on sale?
Yes, yes, where is he?
I haven't seen him come downstairs yet. I suppose he's still up.
Thanks, come on, Jane.
Hey, watch out for that step.
Ah! Clayton, are you okay?
I think I sprained my ankle on that stupid step.
You okay? Can you walk on it?
I'm fine, I'll manage. Come on. Mr. Druff.
Hello, Clayton. Say, you're limping. Are you okay?
I sprained my ankle on those stupid broken stairs. Listen, I...
Oh, isn't that wonderful? So quaint. Really makes you feel like you're living with poor conditions like those stairs. You really have to struggle. Nothing's free.
We don't have time for poetry. The woman you want to marry is Mr. Williams' daughter.
Mr. Williams?
The man whom you totally ignored? The appointment you didn't go to or try to reschedule?
Oh, yes, that Williams.
He doesn't know you're the one marrying her, but he's still dead set against it.
I'm sure it's fine. Why don't I go explain the situation to him?
Sir, I don't know if that's the best idea.
Have either of you any better ones? This is the only way. Williams is a civilized man. I'm sure he can understand how I feel towards his daughter. Come, let us go talk with Williams.
Where is he? I'll tell him off.
Dad, there's nothing wrong with him. Or us.
Why, there they are in the lobby now. This'll be a cinch.
Are you sure you wouldn't rather have us talk to him? You're kind of excited right now, and it might be better if we...
Nonsense. I've dealt with old Williams about more complicated matters than this. You just tend to that ankle of yours.
If you say so, sir.
Mr. Williams, how have you been? So sorry about the appointment I missed.
What? Oh, it's you, Druff. I saw your staff around earlier. Well, never mind the appointment. I haven't time. I'm looking for the idiot my daughter thinks she wants to marry. Do you know where he is?
Well, as a matter of fact, I do.
Really? Out with it, man. Where? Where?
Dad.
What?
We met last night. She's a very fine girl, Mr. Williams.
I know that, and, well, I'm sorry. I, kinda was a little agitated earlier. You seem like a great husband for my daughter.
Thank you, Mr. Williams. You hear that, Anne? We can get married.
Wait, how do you two know each other so well?
Well, you see,
Well, your fiancé and I have many business dealings together. He's a very successful and intelligent man.
How successful?
Now, Anne.
Why, the lad's a billionaire. You've certainly a husband to be proud of.
You told me you were just a simple man who wanted a simple life.
Now look, Anne.
You told me you just wanted to live in a small town and fall in love. That you didn't want the glitz and glamour of the big city.
Should I leave the room?
Now wait, Anne. It is true, I am very rich. But just because I'm rich doesn't mean I can't want those things, does it? I love you, Anne. And I love this small town. I've had it with the big world of business. I want to settle down.
And just why should I believe you?
Because I completely vacated my position as CEO as of this morning and passed the job on to my assistant, Clayton Robson.
Hi.
You did? For me?
Yes, I did.
You what? Do you want my daughter to starve while you're living out your simple life in the unemployment line?
Hold on, Mr. Williams. I have more than enough assets to provide for Anne and myself for the rest of our lives. We'll be more than okay.
Oh, fine. I give up.
Oh, Dan. I'm so happy. We're getting married today.
I'm happy too, Anne. Whoa, look at the time. If we're gonna get married at 1, I need to go put my tuxedo on right now. I'll be right back.
Sir, watch out for the...
Ah!
Step.
Dan, are you all right? Oh, it looks like you sprained your ankle.
Yeah, isn't that wonderful?
And so in closing, ladies and gentlemen of the board, I would like to once again reassure you that I will do all in my power to ensure the continued success of the Daniel Druff Dandruff Shampoo Company. Signed, Clayton Robson.
Is that all, Mr. Robson?
Yes, and will you please stop with the office formalities already?
Well, I thought you wanted to keep the professionalism.
Only during office hours. And, Miss Stebbins, in exactly 5 seconds, lunch break begins. 3, 2, 1. How's about me taking you to lunch, Janie?
Sounds good to me, boss. Let's go.
Let me get my jacket on and...
Oh, dear, I completely forgot. You have a lunch meeting with Mr. Bradshaw today.
Oh, geez, really?
Afraid so.
Let's just go to lunch anyway.
But what do I do with this appointment?
Cancel it, Miss Stebbins.
Yes, sir!
This was Heroes Don't Take Water Breaks, a student-written, directed, and acted podcast and radio show from the Brookings Harbor High School. Today's show featured the acting talents of students McLean and Gage Westbrook, Lori Bueller, Corey Sarabia, Miranda Wolfers, Jed Doan, and Jane McCollum. The show's editor and sound effects expert is BHHS alumnus Jake Westbrook. And now the sound effects credits. The opening song in the San Francisco bit was taken from an episode of the 1950s Dragnet radio show, which is in the public domain. Selections of the composition Golly Gee by Kevin MacLeod from Incompetech.com were used under the Creative Commons Attribution 3.0 license. The following sound effects were acquired at freesound.org under the CC0 1.0 Universal License and are public domain. City ambiance sound effects, footsteps, car idling sound effects. Other sound effects are licensed from wavebrigade.com. Wave Brigade in particular is an outstanding source of premium sound effects that help bring our shows to life. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in. You can hear more from the student talent of Heroes Don't Take Water Breaks by checking them out on iTunes, Facebook, and the school district website.
Whoa, what's that sound?
Well, that's the sound of volunteer power. It's what keeps KCIW running free and wild on our Wild Rivers coast.
Well, what fuels volunteer power? Is it nuclear? Is it coal?
Why, it's goodwill and an amazing community of people. Without folks like you getting involved with KCIW, we would be powerless.
You mean I can power KCIW?
You bet you can. We're looking for volunteers of all kinds. Check out our website at www.kciw.org to find out how you can get involved and become...
Volunteer Power!